Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our series on the Train to Hunt competitions. Today we have as a guest Gabe Krell. For those of you who do not know Gabe, he has pretty much mastered the Meatpack Challenge. So that's what we're going to be discussing today, is the dreaded Meatpack Challenge. Gabe, how's it going today?
Good, man. Good morning.
Let's get right into it. Meatpack. How do you become really good at it?
That's a pretty open-ended question. I see. Okay, I got you. I don't know if I'm the expert on it, but dude, it's you mentioned it. It's a pretty crazy event. It's kind of you just get in and go, and then there's a little more to it than that. But it to just explain to guys that you're going to throw 100 pounds or more on your back and race for time, you get a lot of crazy looks. That's been for sure in the last couple of years as it's evolved. But it, I think the biggest thing for me, and I was thinking about it and thinking back, the mental hurdle of just knowing you can do it. I looked back at Fort Collins when we first started, and it was 200 pounds, and I went into that event not thinking you could even touch 200 pounds, and you and Phil and Santino and everybody pretty much cleaned the course with it and mopped me up along the sideline taking my two trips. So it was an eye-opening day, I can tell you that day for sure. But it for me, it started with just understanding what I could do and what my body could do, because I hadn't even tried that in the past, and kind of starting from there and getting the mental hurdle over with.
So you've done very well the past season in the meat pack, other than one little – snafu where you got lost. Other than that, what are you looking to improve upon in this next season?
You know, it's probably similar to last year. You're right. The meat pack is, it plays into my strengths. The course on day two, usually with some cardio training, that one actually plays pretty well. But I continue trying to improve my shooting. It's a big part of day one, and it definitely makes up for a lot of time on day two when you're trying to run a course against somebody, and especially in the qualifiers, some of the a little bit shorter courses, you know, the 12 to 15 minute courses when you can take time off. So it's shooting not only to improve just the pure 3D shooting, but also doing it at an elevated heart rate. So in the 3D challenge, you can, you know, take 30 seconds pop off versus burpees.
Let me ask you this, right? What would you say out of those three events is the most, if someone's just starting out and they're like, all right, what event should I really spend the time getting good at? What event would you say that would be?
Shit, that's a hard answer, Will, because it's so, because they all, I mean, I think most people that go out and do it are pretty competitive and they want to do it pretty well. Getting comfortable with shooting is a start. The conditioning element, if you think about it, in the last two events, the conditioning element plays a big role in the meat pack, as well as the running, the physical running with a pack on your back. So I think you really have to focus on, it's got to be the conditioning element of it. Being able to just put your head down and go from obstacle to obstacle and try not to walk and try not to slow down and just know you can do it. So I'm going to say the conditioning, because it plays such a big role. Pretty quickly, once you get up to speed, you realize you got to stick your arrow on the target. But I think you got to be able to run the meat pack band as fast as you can and then turn around and do it all again with a 20-pound pack on your back the next day.
I have a theory that I have not tested yet, but it's a theory that I'm hoping someone tests, not me, and see if it works. But that is, if you can do really well in the meat pack, say you can load up that 100 pounds and make it through the course fast as you can, that's going to carry over big time to your second day challenge course. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can spend maybe a little less time on challenge course focus as say you can on the meat pack. You know, with the meat pack, I feel like you can kill two birds with one stone, but doing the challenge course stuff will not carry over to that meat pack as well.
Yeah, you know, there's, I guess there's a, there's two things that can work to your advantage on that, or one that can and one that can't. And we saw it last year. Because you're right. I mean, you can make up some time pretty quickly in the meat pack by getting out ahead. If you look at the Colorado qualifier that had a five-minute meat pack course, I remember, I think I looked at Phil's score, his shooting score, and I think I'd have had to do the meat pack 7 minutes faster than him or something, and the total course was 5 minutes. So, I mean, when they hit go, we were already losing time. But if you flip that ahead to Nationals where it was like a 30-minute or 20, I forget what the time was, it gives you a lot of course to make up time and to put some distance and to make up for your shooting. So in the longer meet back in the courses, I do agree you've got a lot of time. And that's usually where I can – I know how day two is going to go if I can shoot fairly well and understand I'm not going to be at the top, but then there's a longer course to try and make up the difference in day one. It's just that short five-minute course, there's only so much you can do to make up time on the competition.
Yeah, so would you say then you think it's got a bigger carryover from the meat pack to the challenge course?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say that the opportunity to make up points there. And then, you know, maybe it plays into it, but you think the guys that are doing the meat pack pretty well on 100 pounds, and can run with that. That plays into a strength on day two when you're doing it with 20 pounds and exercises and have a big cardio element in day two as well. So the two of them, I would say, carry them pretty well.
All right, now I'm going to ask the question. I know there's a lot of people out there wondering. What do you do for training?
You know, we mix it up because it's to start with just going full speed and 2 miles and try and train every day with 100 pounds on your back is, although it would probably train your body to do it, it wreaks hell on your body too. So we mix it up, anything from 40 pounds. It's typically all pack workouts that are a couple days a week, and it's anywhere from 40 to maybe 125 pounds. And as the weight goes up, the distance comes down. So, I mean, maybe this last week we did laps at Red Rocks on Saturday morning with 60 pounds doing the stairs and up and down and just different challenges. And then did an incline with a pack on Sunday. And then, you know, sometimes we'll do 4 miles at Green Mountain and that may be 40 pounds or so just to get the endurance element of it. But to go out and run a meat pack event again and again and again or 3 times a week just takes its toll on the body. So just try and mix it up to a little more low intensity, longer duration stuff, and a few times a week.
And then a few times a week.
Air workouts.
A few times a week, go with a little bit heavier, a little more intense.
Yeah, and you know, I don't do it often, but and Luke would tell you, he was my training partner, maybe 4 to 5 times before Nationals. So four to five times, maybe once, maybe twice a month. In the 3 months leading up to Nationals, we would do like maybe a heavy speed where it's probably a flat course, but you see what you can do for time on a flat course with 100 to 125 pounds. And that kind of played back into the mental element of we knew what your body could do. Obviously an incline slows you down really fast, but to know that you can achieve a pretty quick time on mile time, all things considered for the weight on your back, it kind of gave us perspective to know what we could achieve and what we should be pushing for. And then you tailored it to the course or tried to tailor it to the course as far as the length and the duration. So, yeah, there's a few. You're right. Every once in a while, you just kind of throw it on your back and go like hell and see if you're improving, I guess, is the best way to say it. But that's not a pretty regular occurrence.
So in a week, how often would you say you're putting on the full weight, the 100 pounds on?
Truthfully, right now in the off season, probably not at all. It's been pretty 60 to 80 pounds is pretty regular. At Green Mountain, Green Mountain's just a small foothill that has a trail system. So it might be a 4 mile loop that has a pretty good incline for about a mile in one stretch. Doing the stairs, which is for those familiar in Denver, there's a small stair challenge in Castle Rock or I know Lance Banning has talked about doing the incline down to Manitou. I haven't done that with weight yet. Or Red Rock Stairs, that's maybe 60 pounds. So I probably won't dial up the weights here for another month, month and well, another couple months as it gets closer to the events. Keep it down a little lower.
So when you are in the full swing of training, how often are you putting it on?
Maybe towards when it really ramped up last summer, it was once a week. We would do a heavy meat pack, and it would be 100 to 125 pounds once in a week, maybe a mile and a quarter to 2.5 miles at most. Try and do elements of it for speed, and other days just do it to say you got used to the weight.
How fast do you think you could do like a flat track mile with 100 pounds on your back?
I don't know if you answer this stuff on podcast and then the comments just come rolling in, don't they?
Not really. We don't get a ton of feedback.
I think you can do, and Luke and I have done it before, probably not south of 10, but around a 10-minute mile on a flat track.
That would have been my guess. Yeah. I think that's a solid number.
And I mentioned that kind of that mental aspect. Going back to when I started training to hunt, and I didn't train before Fort Collins, first of all, and then also went to Fort Collins, I put 100 pounds on my back off the tailgate of a truck for about 20 seconds and said, I can do this. I said, I'm going to do 2 laps. That was the element of training that we did for the first event.
That sounds like a lot of training.
Well, and you saw the results. But, I mean, A, that ass kicking is what I needed. But that was kind of the mindset. That's what I thought I could do. So that's why we've done, you asked that question. That's why we went and put 100 pounds on a flat track and done it for speed, just to understand what we were even capable of. Because if you'd asked me 2 years ago if you could do a 10-minute mile with 100 pounds on your back, I'd have laughed at you and probably told you you're full of shit. So.
So for me to have said, no, you can do it in 10 minutes, he never would have believed it.
Yeah.
Now.
So, but, I'll have to do that, Will. I'll have to maybe here in the next few weeks, I'll do it, and I'll find a fairly flat course and see what we can do.
Go find a track. High school's got them all over the place.
Good point.
Because what I need.
What do you think that when you show up at a high school with a backpack on that's camo or brown and you just kind of start taking off running? Maybe that's got to be off hours.
People probably assume you're a hiker.
Yeah, Colorado, you're right. That's true.
I think most places that's what they're assuming. They're not going to assume you're doing it for a hunting fitness competition. Now, if you had like your I've done it where it's like I've got my bow on and I've got my bow on my back, and then I've got at one point I had the training elevation mask on it. Man, you get a lot of looks running around looking like that.
I bet. Yeah, I could see that. The other one you get in when you do it for speed, and guys probably that have competed can hear it on the course. I breathe pretty hard when I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing it for speed on maybe a concrete, like a sidewalk, a flat track or something, you get the people out ahead of you, maybe a gal out running in the morning just to, get her exercise. And she doesn't know what the hell is coming behind her between the heavy foot, hitting the ground from the weight and the heavy breathing. She's they usually step aside and look back and wonder if they're about to get run over. But so you do get some looks for sure, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. Maybe that's the crazy part, is it is actually enjoyable to do it.
I know what you mean. If you can get that mile time down, that'd be great, because then I can use it as a fun fact in the future of this is right now, the measuring point. This is what people have done. Let's see what you can do. Because then, too, people, track's a track, a mile's a mile. People are going to be able to do it wherever they are and measure themselves. So I think that'd be a pretty cool element to have.
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl. We'll throw 100 pounds in. I'll give it a whirl. I'll get Luke. But maybe we'll do that with the group out here.
I know Luke will go.
I'd say the Mountain Warriors, but we tend to hike more than run, and that might, probably so. But I'll get a few guys together. We'll do that.
I think if you just put the open invite out there, people are going to show up. You know Phil can't resist a challenge.
That's true.
He's the competitive son of a bitch.
I think we all are.
That's true. You're probably right.
Yeah, I think you've heard Aaron talk about it when he gets the group together, and last year he'd get a group of guys together and hike, and there's different elements to the hike. There's the flat, and then there's the inclines, and some are steep, and some are more gradual. And you get six guys around, and somebody's good at every one of those sections, and they kind of want to prove it to everybody else. So before you know it, you're keeping up with the guy who's strong on an incline. You think you're going to rest when you get to the top, and there's another guy who's ready to go, and you got to keep up with him. So it's that competitive nature that maybe that's the part that makes it fun.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just getting yourself ground up.
Yep.
What are you throwing on for pack these days? What are you rocking?
You know, I can say I only run a Cafaro pack nowadays. I'm not sponsored by Cafaro. I know Aaron. I don't get anything cash or anything like that. But I heard somebody say recently it was, you know, it's the best I know now. A couple years ago, I'd have told you how great my Badlands pack was or how great my Cabela's frame was and other things. But now that I've used that Cafaro, and I just have a duplex frame. Actually, I have two of them. And that's all I run, either with a cargo panel or with an AMR bag. But that, I can truly say, is the best that I know now. And I don't veer from it.
I've heard there's a special, new bag coming out that may be geared towards such competitions.
I've heard rumors.
Have you heard rumors?
I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it from the source. I've heard rumor of it. And if I'm a betting man, I bet one of the first competitions we see it on Phil's back somewhere, don't we?
I bet you that's a possibility. Who knows with Phil?
Yeah. No, I use their heavy frame or the duplex frame for the meat and just everyday hunting. I mean, yeah, I use it for training to hunt, but more importantly, the year in the fall on the mountain with that thing on my back and actually having reasonable weights on a day hunt of 30 to 45 pounds makes it feel pretty damn good. And then in the challenge course, I have a smaller, I think it's an Antero, just a smaller, normal little backpack that I use for the 20-pound weights. So that's what I roll with.
If you were to give one piece of advice to aspiring trained hunt athletes, what would it be?
Just come out and do it. We talk a lot about it, and you know, we're preaching to the choir that when we're there, because it's a lot of like-minded people being competitive and coming out to support each other. It can be probably a little bit daunting event when you look at it from the outside, or when you listen to this podcast and, you know, talk about throwing, you know, you talk to the guys that are doing the meat pack well, or the shooting well, or Phil, who's been the national champion. But I mean, to just come out and do it and see what it's like and test yourself, and I mean, for me, it was eye-opening, but it was cool because it's since then fueled a little bit different lifestyle of just getting more in shape and getting stronger and continuing to do it. And I think I probably needed in my 30s that competitive event that fuels that, because you find yourself slowing down at that point. So just, I won't say get off the couch and do it, because I'm not proclaiming everybody sitting on the couch that's not doing train to hunt, but just come out and do an event and see what it's like, and you'll find your strengths and you'll find your weaknesses pretty fast, and you'll know where you want to spend time working on it.
And
so that is an advice, Will, but that's my recommendation probably.
So what would your advice be for people aspiring to do better in the meat pack?
It's a lot of pack workouts. It's legs every day. And so it's, you know, I guess there's leg days at the gym, and I do a lot of days where we do stairs, and I'll do those even without weight, just, you know, for speed. And it's just a lot of stairs and hills and inclines, anything from doing them as fast as you can with no weight to pushing the weight to where you are comfortable. And if that's 100, if it's 125, just keep stacking that weight up and start at 40 and work your way up. Whatever the weight is, it's just – put the weight in your back and go and do it, because there's no substitute. The stair climber at the gym, or trying to run, or squats, there's just no substitute for actually having that weight on your back and just going out and doing it.
I agree. All right, my man. This has been another edition of our Train to Hunt style mini podcast. I hope you all are able to take this advice and use it in your own repertoire. Build yourself into a better hunter athlete, and hopefully we'll see you out at the races this year. So,
all right, buddy.
So just keep interrupting me, Gabe. So for Natural Born Hunter, work, hustle, hunt, baby.